Amen. Thank you, youth choir. That was encouraging. He's a mighty good God. Bless his name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Rest of the week, we got young married couple fellowship this Friday evening. And who knows what happens this weekend that you can look forward to. Time change. It springs forward. You lose an hour sleep. Some will come and catch up on it on Sunday morning. But anyway, just so you kind of have a heads up and be prepared for that. And we'll have longer daylight in the evening. How about that? Praise God. Why don't you go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 this evening. Looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount beyond the Beatitudes. God bless his people, his faithful people. Would you stand tonight for the reading of God's word? In Jesus' sermon, he turns to this in verse 33. He says, "Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yes, yes, no, no, yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Verse 34 says, swear not at all. Our culture is a swearing culture. Our culture uses God's name in vain constantly. You heard it at school today. If you went to public school, you heard it at work. You heard it on the airways. Our culture is a swearing culture. And now we even have folks that are getting behind a pulpit and letting loose a few swear words to show that they're human and all of this nonsense. But I don't believe God's people ought to swear, do you? Now we're going to deal with swear in both of its meanings. You see, we're not to take God's name in vain. I'll let you be seated in just a second here. This is just a pre-warm-up here. But this all goes back to, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And with one stone, Jesus deals with two ways of doing that. One is by taking oaths you don't mean and swearing by God's name. I swear to God. And the other is in just communication, everyday, ordinary communication, using God's name with no purpose to it. Isn't it interesting that both of those are called swearing? To affirm an oath by saying, "In the name of God," and to use God's name loosely in conversation, both of those are referred to as swearing. Let me ask our young people this. When I was a kid, we still used to do that little thing we got to playing, "Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye." Do kids still do that? Well, good. That's pretty morbid, isn't it? How many of my age remembers that? "Cross my heart." When you wanted to, "I promise." Boy, you just look at all those confessions, man. I mean, Sister Cruz, she's a lot older than I am, but she lifted her. I joke her. She's just months older, but anyway. We did that when we were playing to say, "Hey, I'm telling you the truth." You know, we was trying to make a point. "Cross my heart, hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye." We never did that, by the way. Isn't it funny things people will do? We're going to pray in just a second. People will do to try to convince others they're telling the truth. Now, I read these verses. Please don't lift a hand here. But as I read these verses, some of you were thinking, well, there's very little in those verses that interest me. Why would we cover them? They just don't seem relevant to our life. Where we're living today. Why would we cover them? Well, number one, because Jesus put it in his sermon, so he must have thought it was important, right? If he put it in his sermon. Well, you say, well, that was just for them during that time. That's why Jesus put it in his sermon. But wait a minute. The Holy Spirit put it in the book for us. So there must be some importance. So tonight I want to talk to you about, do you swear not to swear? Do you swear not to swear? Let's pray together. Father, help us. The words of Christ, make them a living thing tonight. God, talk to us for the moment, but talk to us for tomorrow. Talk to us about being the people you'd have us be. Lord, we want to please you in every way. We want to be markedly and distinctly the people of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I had an experience. We had some tremendous, many of you young people remember, we had some tremendous youth camps last year. And after one of those, a young adult from our church who had been hardly coming to church at all, he had really got into altar service, really got blessed, just really got stirred. And he came to me, and I appreciated it. He apologized for missing church, and he said, I want you to know it's going to be different with me. And I've had this reoccur with different young people. He said, I want you to know it's going to be different with me. He said, I promise you, you're going to be seeing me all the time. God has moved in my heart. I'm so excited. I promise you. And he did everything but, you know, say promise to God. He was just invoking God's name and said, I'm going to be there. But it hasn't happened. How often do people, it doesn't have to be young people, it's adults, they experience God's love, they experience God's grace, they experience God's power, and they begin to tell folks what they're going to do. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to minister. I'm going to get more involved. I'm going to praise. They make promises to God. They make commitments to God and never carry them out. One thing's for sure, if I'm not keeping my promise to God, I'm not keeping my promises to people either. Amen? And it's just that way. Now, what we're going to deal with is what the people of Jesus' time were dealing with doing, and that is they were throwing around God's name, talking about what God had done for them and what they're going to do and how they're so spiritual, and they just used God's name to try to convince folks that they were really more up there than they were. Did you know that's an awful way to use God's name to say you're going to do something and not do it? That's an awful way to use God's name. So let's look at these verses and let's answer this question first of all. What's going on that Jesus would say this? What's going on? Look at verse 33 again. You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. Those folks of that day had been rightly taught not to swear using God's name and then not do what they swore to do. In other words, if you're going to swear to God to do something, you better do it. Now, this is an old word to us, forswear. The word today is perjure, perjury. That's a word we hear a lot in the newspapers and in the news. A perjury is telling a lie when you have sworn to tell the truth. Jesus used the word forswear. It's saying you're telling the truth when all the time you're telling a lie. In other words, these folks Jesus were talking about, they swore to God that they were doing something and they would do something, but they weren't doing it. So look what Jesus said in verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne. We'll look at that in a moment, but swear not at all. Now listen, if you read your Bible, if any of you are thinking through scriptures, it was not forbidden to swear in scripture. God swore by his own name. Abraham swore. Different people swore. So is Jesus changing everything? Is he saying, okay, now everybody, you got to quit swearing to God? No, what he was talking about is swearing the way they had been swearing. They had begun, you know, swearing to God is for serious matters. But they were swearing to God about light things, everyday things, frivolous things. I'm going to eat that whole pizza, I swear to God I will. It was how they were swearing. Not only were they doing it lightly, but they were swearing and never even beginning to intend on doing the thing. Their motive was to appear spiritual, to appear religious. They simply didn't mean what they swore. They just wanted folks to think that they did. I swear I saw an angel last night. I swear I'm going to give $1,000 in the offering this weekend. And they were coupling it with these things to make themselves look religious and spiritual. And many, many times they had no intention of keeping that oath. And they got tricky. We'll look at it in a moment, but Jesus said, he didn't say interesting, he didn't say don't swear by God. He said don't swear by heaven because they were being tricky. Formerly, when you wanted to really swear by something, you'd say, I swear by God. But to be tricky, they said, I swear by heaven, or I swear by earth, or I swear by the temple, or I swear by my head. They wouldn't say, God, why? Number one, because if they never did it, they could say, well, I never swore by God, I swore by the temple. Or if you would look at them and say, wait a minute, you're taking God's name in vain. They say, oh, no. I never used God's name in vain. I swore by the temple. They got technical. They got tricky. But it was also more than that. They would say, well, since I swore by the temple's a public place, and that means I'm only bound to keep my promise in public, and what I do in private has nothing to do with my commitments to God. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? I can say it in church, but if I do it in church, that's good. But if I don't do it at home, well, I'm relieved of that. And see, now Jesus takes this a step further. They were not just taking God's name in vain because they were using it in oath, but they were using his name in vain because they were using it frequently in everyday communication. They were committing perjury, but in doing so, they were filling their conversation with holy phrases. Let's look what he says. Continue. Don't swear by heaven, it's God's throne, verse 35. Nor by the earth, for it's his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Notice what they did. Not only did they give themselves a way out. I didn't swear by God, I swear by the temple. They're using replacement words. This is, when I bring this all to a conclusion, it's going to be important here. They used replacement words. Instead of saying God, they said temple. Instead of saying heaven, they used earth. They used a replacement word. You know, this got really technical later on. When you promised, you would take the Holy Scroll and later the Bible. And did you know that there came a time they not only swore by God and swore upon the Bible, they kissed it? How many knows that in history they did that? They would also kiss it. And these people were sneaky. They would swear by God and swear on the Bible. But when they went to kiss the Bible, they would, only these can see what I'm doing, they would, what did I do? They would kiss their thumb instead of the Bible. So later, if somebody called them on not doing that, they said, well, I never really kissed the Bible. I kissed my thumb. And that's what these people were literally doing in Jesus' day. Well, I never really swore by God. I swore by... You know, don't you wish people just live straight out and true? None of this trickery, none of this kind of stuff. Remember that little thing I told you we used to do as kids? Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. What was something we did to get out of that? Does anyone remember? Yeah, later someone said you'd do that. You crossed your heart. You hope to die. He said you'd stick a needle in your eye. Yeah, but behind my back I had my fingers crossed. You guys don't do that either anymore, do you? Man, you guys must live boring lives. Like that nullified it. And that's what those people were doing just because they didn't use that particular God word. Well, what today is like that? That's what was going on in their day. What today is like that? You know, there's a phrase I'm always suspicious of. When somebody comes to me and says, now, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, come on, admit, when you hear a preacher say that, don't you pause? Okay, I'm going to be honest. You know, two things are possible in mind. If someone tells me, I'm going to be honest with you, that means they haven't been being honest, and now they're going to start. Right? Or that they, well, that they're fixing to lie to me. What are those two things? But you see, it's the same. People use God's name with that. Why does somebody say, I'm going to be honest with you? Because they don't want you to be able to disagree with them. Because I just told you I'm going to be honest with you, so why would you question me? People throw around God's name the same way. You know, I have counseled people, listen to me, that have done things or were about to do things directly against the Word of God. But they'll before they tell me they're going to do it, they'll preface it with, I prayed about it, And God showed me. God told me. Why do they do that? Why do they invoke God's name? Because they want to put what they're about to say above argument. How can I, if they're telling me God told me, God showed me, how can I argue with them? I do. If it's in the Word, I show them in the Word. But what they're trying to do, they're trying to throw me off. You know, I saw that famously at Bible school. A guy was with one girl. He'd get his eye on another girl. He'd go to the first girl and say, I just feel like it's God's will to break up. He blamed God. It wasn't God's will that he was breaking up. Some other girl caught his eye. Instead of being honest, he threw God's name in to make it look spiritual, to make it holy. So how do we do that today? Number one, we use God's name to try to convince people of something we know is not true. I read a secular essay today on things people do when they're being deceptive. Listen, I just want to read this to you. Deceptive people may try to convince you that they're telling the truth. They will sometimes do this by using phrases such as, I swear to God, I swear on my mother's grave, honest to God, honestly, scout's honor. This is a secular essay on deception. People say that when they're trying to deceive you. People still do that today. Amen. They use God's name to try to convince people of something that's not true. How do we see this today? We see this in cursing. Now, I read this to you, and it's important that Jesus was talking about swearing to God and making an oath, but before he's through, he's talking about everyday communication. He said, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. So that's why today we still, we see the connection between swearing an oath and swearing using curse words. You see, the thing they have in common, they're both using God's name in vain. Again, what's the third commandment? Thou shalt not, can you say it with me? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Amen. You know, I heard a reporter this week say, Jesus Christ. It was as an exclamation, you know, oh, Jesus Christ. I thought, something still in me cringes when I hear his name taken in vain. Now, how do we have this today? What about us Christians? Well, we don't go around doing that, do we? Well, we have something that I call holy word substitutes. You know, Christians curse too. They just use different words. No one's going to agree with me. Instead of saying, holy Jesus, I've heard him say, holy Jehoshaphat. Or holy Moses. Just, you know, change a few words. Isn't that what they were doing in our text? They didn't say heaven, they said earth. They didn't say God, they said temple. They substituted a word. You know, I don't want to, I'll get to that a little later. Well, let me just deal with it now. I don't want to sound too rough, but sometimes looking up things in the dictionary would help a whole lot. How many knows what you're going to find if you look up the words gee, gosh, and golly in a dictionary? Does anyone know what you're going to discover? Pardon? Yes, it's going to say euphemism for God. In other words, a slang way of saying God. So, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. And if we hear a sinner going, you know, whatever, God, it cringes, we cringe. But we have these substitute words. Jesus said, let your communication be yea, nay, yea, yea, nay, nay. What should we do then with this lesson that Jesus is teaching us? Should we never, ever swear to God? Jesus said in verse 34, but I say to you, swear not at all. Some religious groups have taken that as in the sense that you can't make an oath. Quakers come to mind and other different Anabaptist groups. They will never take an oath in court because they take this, what Jesus said, swear not at all. I think we've already talked about how Jesus was talking about how you swear, but they take it. You should never make an oath in court. Well, again, I think I've already pointed this out, but to bring it together, that cannot be true because even God swore by himself and holy men of old swore to God on certain situations and circumstances. But you see, here's the difference. What Jesus was talking about is voluntary self-initiated oaths, self-serving oaths, a person swearing for their own benefit. It was a voluntary thing. It was not an involuntary. When you go to court, you are asked to swear. There may be times for your witness, there may be times in persecution when you must, do you really believe Jesus is the Christ? I swear to God of heaven that Jesus is the Christ. It is a thing with the situation. It's a serious time. It's a monumental time. It's not something you're swearing to your own benefit and your own self-interest. Look what he says in verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more of these come of the evil. So what should we do? Here it is. We're going to bring it all together. Here is what we take home. Number one, live in such a way that you have no need to swear. When a person starts saying, I swear to God, there's a reason they're saying that. Live in such a way as you have no need to swear. Would you have to swear if you really were a person who told the truth? Just simply tell the truth. Amen. If you're a truth teller, you won't have to explain. You won't have to embellish. You won't have to try to convince. You won't have to swear because people will know that if it comes out of your mouth, it's the truth. Amen. If you have to say more, something's not right. It's kind of like I say about reasons for missing church. If you have a real reason, it needs no explanation. You say, this is what it is. If it's the truth, you won't have to swear by it. In other words, Jesus said, let your yea be yea, your nay, nay. If people know that your yes means yes and your no means no, you won't ever have to be swearing to God to them to try to convince them. You know, I believe we ought to live that way. I believe we ought to live that if we say we'll do something, we'll do it. If we'll say we'll be somewhere, we'll be it. How many of those was a time your word was your bond? Now you have to have signatures and affidavits and certifications. What's the word I'm looking for? Where you have it, notarized, yes. It has to be all of that. There's a time a man's word, I was taught you're no better than your word. If you'll say you'll be there a certain time and you're not there at a certain time and you didn't make calls and send smoke signals to let them know why you weren't there, amen, you were no better than your word. Well, Jesus is pretty much saying that. Live so you don't have to swear. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Secondly, do not swear unless it's required of you. There are times, courts I mentioned in other situations. And I'm going to tell you, we don't need to swear in many situations. But if we're really got to swear and our hearts are right with God, we'll swear even to our own hurt. There's a scripture that means a lot to me. It's found in Psalms 15. Who's going to really be in the presence of God? It says, someone in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, and he sweareth to his own hurt, and changeth not. You tell the truth even if you know it's going to hurt you. You tell the truth even if you're going to lose friends. You tell the truth even though it's going to go bad for you and there's repercussions. Sometimes you have to swear, but swear even to your own hurt. What do we take home with us? Make sure you're careful not to use God's name in vain in your ordinary everyday conversations. Jesus said, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Are you speaking to God? You used his name. Are you speaking to God? You know, I kind of tried my kids this way, and sometimes you know how we'll come out with an exclamation, and I'd ask this, so they'll ask it. Were you praying? You just used God's name. Were you speaking to him? Were you praying? You see, if I used his name and I wasn't talking to him or talking about him, I just used his name in vain. Take home with us. Make sure you're not using replacement words and phrases from God for God. You know, you may think that's really silly, and I'm not trying to be hard. I'm really not. But man, we've become so indiscriminate about so many things that we've lost all reverence. You may think this is totally silly, okay? I come here early in the morning and other times when nobody's here, nobody's in the sanctuary, and I'll have a hoodie on a lot of mornings, and I'll walk in those doors of that sanctuary, and I immediately pull that hood off. Because a man's not to have his head covered before God. You say, that's silly. Nobody's here. I know that. I know nobody's here. But that's for my sake, too, because when I practice those things, it puts me in a reverent frame of mind. And you say, well, it's silly to talk about using gosh and gee whiz and all of that and to try to keep those out of our conversation. No, not if we're really trying to reverence God. And in no way, not in any way, to take his name in vain. I need to use his name enough talking to him. I sure don't want to wear it, or I sure don't want to use it in vain. I was just thinking about sometimes my kids say, Dad, 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 and I told them, you're going to wear it out. You're going to wear my name out if you keep using it. Last of all tonight, use God's name reverently by often speaking of and to him, and you'll be less inclined to use it irreverently and vainly. What am I trying to say? You know the people who have the least trouble using God's name in vain? It's the people who use his name correctly. If I am a person who sincerely prays using God's name, I am a person who speaks highly and reverently of God, I will not be inclined to use his name in vain. You show me that someone that begins to get loose in the way they use God's name in vain, cursing or whatever, you're looking at a person that's not praying. I don't care. I just believe that. If a person's using God's name in vain and cursing and swearing and light jokes and all of that, they're not a person who seriously prays to God or reverently speaks of God. If you're praying to God reverently and you are speaking of God reverently, you will not be inclined to use his name. Isn't he holy? Isn't he righteous? He's not just the man upstairs. He's the holy, righteous, eternal, gracious, merciful God. We don't use his name in vain. Would you come, music? Now, having talked about swearing that you're telling the truth and never have any intention on doing what you said, kind of reminds us of the season we're in. Does anyone know what season we're in? A political, presidential cycle. How many is tired of hearing folks swear this is what they're going to do and this is the truth, and it's not the truth and it's not what they're going to do? Now, I don't want to sound harsh. Do you think God ever kind of feels that same way about us? You know, I can't expect our young people to be impacted by a song that impacted me when I was young in the middle 70s. I can't expect you to. But I can share it and tell you what it did to me. There was a song that came out in the 70s. And let me just, these words have impacted me over the years, especially this verse. When I told him I loved him, it was easy to say, but harder to prove it when temptation came my way. For what good are broken promises? I counted them but loss. But then I caught a glimpse of true love hanging on a rugged cross. And here's what the chorus said. Listen, listen. Now I love him too much to fail him now. Listen, here it is. Too much to break my vow. For I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow. And now I love him too much to fail him now. I do make promises to God and I want to keep them. Amen. I want to keep my commitment to him. He's a great God. So, yes, yes, no, no. I want to live that way. My yes is a yes, my no is a no, and live in reverence to God's name. Could you stand? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've talked a lot about using his name in vain. Let's use his name with the purpose. Let's use his name with reverence. I want to invite you to come to these altars and use God's name with purpose and reverence, respect and sincerity and meaning. Could you come use his name? Call out to him. Let's come together in these altars tonight. If you need special help from the Lord, come and pray with us. There'll be folks that will pray with you tonight. Amen.